we just try to promote action and show that these guys are really our athletes. And rodeo for a long time was like the greatest show on dirt. Like they kind of made it seem like a circus. It's really changing the idea of rodeo to really these people are athletes.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana once again with all the tools that you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
We've got another terrific show for you. I knew you were expecting it. Episode 53, we're talking the McNeese Rodeo with Justin Browning. So kind of outside the box as we have, honestly, a really eye-opening episode to a lot of the fun activities and things that what it takes to be a rodeo coach and create a rodeo team and at a championship one at that. We laughed, we lived, we loved, we cried. All the emotions in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Learned a lot about cowboying, that's for sure. So we begin the show, though, as we always do, a taste of Southwest Louisiana. It's a segment we like to call On V Eats.
Should we have opened the show with a howdy?
Howdy, y'all.
Yeah, howdy. Well, howdy. Let's head to Big Daddy Sports Grill for On V Eats. They've been open for about 20 years. The LeBlanc family has really supported local throughout, whether it be McNeese or just the local community around in Lake Charles. And that's really where they've created a mark in Lake Charles. A lot of trial and error went into their menu because they've taken a lot of family recipe, things like Pawpaw's gumbo, that they call it, and they play in the kitchen. So think of it like a passed down legacy of recipes with a twist.
Home style for sure. This is the place to go to get all that warm Southern comfort food that, you know, the stuff your mom and daddy used to cook, the stuff your grandparents cooked. Yep. This is the place to go to get that. And it tastes, it's authentic. It's real. It's homey. It feels good. It warms your soul.
And I think something that stands out about their menu is that they're consistent.
Yes.
You know, whatever you get, it's going to be the same every time you get it because, you know, they've done it for so long that you know what to expect after you've had it. And so that's so key when it comes to the food industry. And their service is always top notch. Their waiters and waitresses, I think typically it's almost always waitresses, but are always on point. And so it's just always a really enjoyable experience to go there, which in their building itself, because they call it the Sports Grill, it is just a bunch of random local sports memorabilia on the walls. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of classic hats as well that kind of line the top of the walls.
I feel like every inch of the wall is covered in hyper local cool sports stuff that
agreed.
It just makes you feel like that place that you've been your entire life. Even if it's your first time going, it feels familiar to you.
There was an LSU hat that really caught my eye when we were in there that I was like, that one has to be from like the early 90s, and it was spectacular.
You tried to steal it?
Yes, I did. I didn't get away with it, though, unfortunately. Well, let's start with what I got, which was, as a kind of an app, the chicken and sausage gumbo, Pawpaw's gumbo, if you will. Hearty, there was a lot of chicken and sausage, which is always such a bonus, especially when you go to a restaurant and you get it just full. Every spoonful has chicken or sausage on it. They'd use rabidoos, which they were on the previous episode of the podcast.
That's right. If you go back a couple of episodes, you can listen to how the sausage is made.
Yeah, and that simple roux is just effective. It's just a classic simple gumbo. They're not trying to win an award for best presentation for the gumbo. They're saying this is a beautiful, warm bowl of gumbo, just like you would get at Pawpaw's house. And it just hits the spot. It is the quintessential Pawpaw gumbo, what you'd expect to get when you go to someone's house. And it is just perfect.
Yeah, and Brady got just the bowl of it as kind of an appetizer to his meal, but it's really hearty enough to very easily can be your entire meal if you get the full bowl of it. Yeah.
Easily. And then for the second meal, if you will, my entree.
Second meal?
Yes, my entree. I went with the grilled fish. I looked at, you know, their Gulf shrimp and their Gulf oysters, and instead I opted for the fish, and it was a great choice. Flaky. No fishy taste to it, too, which I know a lot of people kind of get turned off by fish. This one did not have it. Very simple Cajun blend on top, so they don't overdo it, and it really works. I mean, you get the great fish texture that you want out of a fish, where it's very flaky and just ultimately delicious. I think I dabbed some hot sauce on top too.
Of course you did. For
a little bit. So of course I did. And it was awesome. Moving on to the veggies, they do a nice blend of broccoli, carrots, and cauliflower. You can get them steamed or grilled, which of course I went grilled. Just add that little charred flavor to them, and it works perfectly. Softens them up. Still crunchy, though. And speaking of crunch, their fried okra was my other side, because you get two sides. They do a simple flour batter, so it's not overly crunchy batter, but the okra itself still has some crunch. You get that nice salty flavor from what the okra brings to the table, and it's just so perfect. I love fried okra, and they had great okra.
And the kids liked that fried okra, too. We brought home the extras, and they ate it up.
And that's the type of portions they give you. You're probably going to have extras, especially if you decide for a gumbo appetizer.
Mm-hmm. I did not get the appetizer, therefore I cleaned my plate. And I got the lunch plate while I was there, which that particular day it was chicken fried chicken and some veggies and mashed potatoes. So good. So the chicken fried chicken, it's really yummy. It's well-seasoned chicken breast. And it's interesting because a lot of places, if you go and you get something like this or chicken fried steak, the batter kind of outweighs the amount of meat you get. It's a really thick batter. This wasn't. It was really thin. Perfect batter on it. Didn't overwhelm it at all, but a nice crunch. The mashed potatoes were really super creamy. Also, sometimes you go and you order something like this and they smother it in white gravy. I'm a big gravy fan. I normally get extra anytime I go anywhere. This didn't need that though, and they didn't. They did not smother it with it. They just gave you just the perfect amount because the chicken is so good. It's so tender. The crisp of the crust on it, the batter on it is so good. Mashed potatoes are so creamy on their own that you don't need to drown it in sure. a gravy.
Yeah, you don't need to soften that batter. That's often typically, I think, why they do so much gravy, is because you got to soften that crunchy batter a little bit.
Yeah, like they did. You feel like it kind of can get dry, right? This doesn't feel that way at all. I got it with sweet carrots, which are delicious, and green beans. They're the perfect little salty kind of kicker to the meal, I think. And the rolls. It came with a roll that looked so pretty. It was baked so perfectly golden brown that I wrote down that it looked airbrushed. Because it looked not real. It looked like play food. You know, the kids have like the plastic play food. And this roll.
Which always does typically look really good.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It always does. And this is what it looked like. It was so perfectly golden brown that I thought, no way that's real. But it was, and it was absolutely delicious. So that's the meal I got. Big Daddy's is really good for their plate lunches. You know, they're special each day. And so that's what I opted for. And I do not have any regrets.
And they have a really convenient location, too, in South Lake Charles, just a little bit past 210. So yep. If you're getting off the 210 loop, it's a very short little break. It's
right
also,
down on Nelson Road.
Yeah, not very far away from McNeese as well and Burton Complex as well. Like you said, just off Nelson Road, right on sale.
So if you're looking for a place that's colorful and good food, Southern home-cooked meal, head over to Big Daddy's. It's the place to be.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Justin Browning, the rodeo coach at McNeese State here in Lake Charles. Coached the Pokes since 2007, leading them to a pair of women's national titles and four reserve national championships between men and women. But we're not done. They've also captured 20 individual national titles and 11 regional championships during that time. And he now brings that championship pedigree right here to the podcast. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, Justin, Southwest Louisiana is known for big city amenities, but small town charm. That's what we do here on the podcast, is give everybody a little taste of those experiences that someone can add to their itinerary when visiting Southwest Louisiana. But before we get started today, we ask each guest a series of questions so that listeners better get to know you and see how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready? Okay. Question number one, crawfish or gumbo?
Crawfish.
Ooh, okay. Quick answer. Why is that?
Gumbo makes me sick. I don't know why. Every time I eat gumbo, I get sick. So,
oh, no.
So I'm a crawfish person.
Crawfish all the way. What do you love about crawfish?
the social side of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Like yeah.
Hanging out.
Crawfish isn't just a meal. It's an event.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's an experience. Okay.
I didn't understand that when I first moved here. At
yeah.
all. Like, but.
Because you're from Texas, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually from Kansas originally.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Yankee, so.
kind of a Yankee.
Yeah.
Especially considering, yeah, there's a little bit of a culture shock, I guess.
Yeah, we have crawfish up there, and I remember my grandma would put them in the frying pan and fry them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, these are terrible.
What's all the hype about?
Yeah. Thanks, Grandma.
Yeah.
Had to come here to get some of the real stuff. Okay, next question. Poolside or beachside?
Beachside.
Mm-hmm. Why's that?
I don't know. Normally, I go to the beach with my family.
Yeah.
And, pools are at hotels, and when I'm at a hotel, I'm normally not with my family. So
yeah, for you that means traveling. That means yeah, you're working.
Yeah,
when you're at a hotel,
that's a good point.
The beach just means so much, I think, to a lot of people too. I mean, and you, like you said, you're from Kansas, so you're a bit landlocked there. But the beach is a different vibe.
Yeah. Well, you plan a beach trip. No one's planning a pool trip as a as a getaway, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's just a day trip.
Exactly.
Okay, our last question. Concert or comedy show?
Comedy show.
Okay. That's your favorite?
We've had a few of those recently.
Yeah, people like to laugh.
Good.
It's an escape.
Why a comedy show over a concert?
Most comedy shows, there's less people.
Mm-hmm.
and I like to laugh. Like, the only time I've ever been to a concert really is when it's at a rodeo, after a rodeo. but we've been to a couple comedian shows, you know, at the, at the casino. And when me and my wife lived in Fort Worth, we would go to Laughing Hyenas. Mm-hmm. That was our date night. We'd go to the comedy club. So
that's awesome. And how awesome is it to have, you know, the casinos locally, Golden Nugget, L'Auberge, Horseshoe, and then Delta Downs. But I know the Golden Nugget specifically and L'Auberge specifically really try to rotate in, but having like big time national comedy acts come through.
Yeah. We've seen several.
It's such
there
a blessing to have that here.
Yeah. It's super fun to go to. And it is, it's a bit of escapism from the real world, you know, for those, you know, hour, 2 hours that you're there. It's the rest of the world doesn't matter kind of thing.
Yeah. We went and saw Kevin James a while back and we wanted to see Rodney Carrington, but, I had my son at a soccer tournament in Mississippi, so we were out of town.
We wanted to go to the Kevin James show.
Yeah.
We ended up not being able to, but we really wanted to. So I hope it was awesome.
Oh, it was.
Now, let's talk rodeo a bit. It's so deeply ingrained. This is something that I had to learn moving here because I've lived all over the state of Louisiana. You know, Southeast Louisiana, there's no rodeo culture like there is here. And even Northwest Louisiana, there's a little bit, but once again, not like it is here. It really is ingrained in the culture. Can you elaborate on how important it is here and then how that kind of helps shape the lives of those that live here?
Well, I think, you know, the Southwest District Livestock Show and Rodeo has always been huge. Like, everybody goes to it. They go see the animals. They go to the rodeo. And then at one time, I think it was 1978, the high school national finals was held in Sulphur. And the college national finals was held at the Burton Coliseum in 78. And so it's between just that, bringing in the rodeo culture and the rural community around here that we have so close, because Lake Charles is kind of a small town, small big town.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't take long to get into the country here. And a lot of those people come to the rodeo. They support the rodeo, their kids rodeo. Mm-hmm. I know Calcasieu Parish probably has the most rodeo athletes between kids and adults and professional out of any parish in the state. And it's just for it's a legacy that a lot of, you have the Martins and Sulphur, you have the Trahans and Hackberry, and you have Josie Connor that's winning the world in breakaway roping that's from Iowa. So it's just, I really feel like it's that culture, that deep, long tradition. Mm-hmm. And families, long tradition of families rodeoing. So that for me, that's what makes it strong. You know, you have people like the Gray Ranch out in Vinton, that Imhart Corporation, they they support it. The gentleman, Mr. Kent, he ran that thing for, I don't even know how long, he just retired a couple of years ago, and his son rodeoed. His son rodeoed for Magnese. His son team roped. And so, you know, they were always a huge supporter of Magnese Rodeo and the Burton Coliseum and the Lawtons and going into that side of
it. Yeah, and you just speaking of some of those, I mean, right now, like in the world, Southwest Louisiana, I know like Shane Hanchey has been, you know, near the top of the rankings and has obviously won it before. I think Zach Youngblood, who I remember covering as a quarterback at Iowa High School, was, I think he's now a professional in what he does, and he's up there for, was he bull riding, right?
He ropes calves as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And he was one of your guys.
Yeah. So Shane wasn't one. I had him signed and things happened and he moved off. He met a girl or something. I don't know. But Zach, we had Zach and a lot of them that come here. Ryder Sanford. Ryder Sanford's another one from Sulphur that started. He was a soccer player for Sulphur and come over with one of his buddies when he was in high school. And we started him riding, and now he's making the NFR again.
Wow.
Like he won the Rookie of the Year last year. We had Casey Martin, Bulldogger, mm-hmm. Tristan Martin, went to Magnese. Josie Connor right now. Jade Connor, Josie's dad, he's mm-hmm. a big influence on calf ropers in the area. Like Zach Youngblood, Shane, all those kids went to him to teach. So Jade's probably taught more world, close to a lot of mm-hmm. all the world champions in Louisiana, I would say, that are calf ropers. But yeah, we have several, you know, and then coming here to school, like Waylon Bourgeois is making the national finals this year. He went to Magnese. Cade Saunier was third in the world last year. He was a baseball player at Nichols, decided he wants to come here to go to school to rodeo because he had Tommy John syndrome condition mm-hmm. in his elbow from throwing. And 2 years later, he's third in the world.
Wow.
And then this year he broke his thumb and was out several months. And so we have a big tradition of, we call it built, not bought, because a lot of the people are built around here. They're not just like, we don't just recruit people that are good. We actually make them. Like,
they're homegrown.
They're homegrown, whether they're here. We have two kids right now that came here and they were just ag students that were trying to go to the bar and fight every weekend. And now they're the head of our FCA leadership, and they're juniors and seniors in college. And mm-hmm. both of them are, like, one of them won second at Lake Charles's Pro Rodeo last year, and he's been riding for 1 year.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy, but it's just the culture, I think, really, yeah. that pulls them together.
I feel like there's a good mix there of all the people that you named. While it is kind of a family business, right? It's a legacy type thing. And a lot of these people have been doing it since they were little kids, right? But some people are just jumping into it in their adulthood and their later years while they're in college and really showing out. And that's not the case with every sport. Like, you can't necessarily just jump in, but that really says something about these athletes.
Yeah, a lot of the you know, rodeo, it's better if you're an athlete before,
mm-hmm.
Like Cade was or Ryder was. All my goat tire, really good goat tires that have won the nation. We've had three national championships in the goat tying, and it's, they've all been like athletes in high school. Most of them were soccer players. So it's, and then our really good breakaway ropers were softball players.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mia Manzanares, I think she was a catcher and she had a scholarship to go play softball at LSU, I think, you know. So, but yeah, it's different. We're building kids, mm-hmm. you know, building young men, you know, and ladies, you know. So that's what's pretty cool about it.
You brought up injuries, and I know that rodeo can be a really dangerous sport, one of the most dangerous, I think, actually, right? What do you do for this team, the young men and young women? You obviously want to keep them safe. I'm sure that's your number one priority. How much, I guess, training goes into this before, you know, you put them in that kind of situation?
I mean, there's quite a bit. We have... for the rough stock riders, we have bucca machines, and we call them like spur boards or stationary barrels for the mm-hmm. bull riders. We teach them technique first. We want them to get that, you know, that motor neuron pathway mm-hmm. all the way across their body, training their body to do what they need to do. So they go into autopilot when they get on. You're not really going against a person when you rodeo. That's the trick, is you can't psych out the thing you're going to go against. So really, as a rodeo athlete, you start training their mind first, because their biggest competitor is themselves.
Yeah.
And so you teach them how the technique, you teach them how to do it. You move them into like saddle horses or slower, like the ropers. They get on their horse, they learn how to ride their horse, and we rope a sled first. You know, we don't have very many that come in as ropers that have never roped before. Mm-hmm. We have a girl from Mexico that's really, really new to it. You could say green. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, she's developing. She's a sophomore this year and she's developing, but we rope the dummy a lot. We call it the dummy.
Yeah.
Or the sled a lot. And you just work on that technique, that stuff you can control. In rodeo, it's not if you're going to get hurt or if you're going to get injured, it's when and how bad, they always said. But we try to prevent that. You know, we keep them in shape. They work out. This morning I was up at 5 a.m. I had all my goat tires at my house. I have an indoor soccer complex at my house, so I train kids in soccer too. Mm-hmm. And we did a strength and agility and speed work this morning at 5 o'clock this morning, wow. The goat tires did. And so they're getting off a horse going 30 mile an hour, and you have injuries, ankles, knees, anything, shoulders. And so, you know, I treat them like any other sprint coach would in that matter. So it's, we train them like athletes. We have recovery. We have cold plunge in our weight room. Mm-hmm. We did do transitions at the Legacy Center where athletics was, and we don't do that anymore. But we do cold plunges right now, and the cryo companies here help them with that.
Oh, that's
help
good.
With recovery, and we just kind of take care of ourselves though most of the time. McNeese Athletics, they help us a little bit with if we need to see a trainer, they'll make time to allow us to go in there, but everything else is kind of like ibuprofen and ice, you know. And now that we have the cold plunge, it's like, oh, hey, you hurt your leg, you just got kicked by a horse or hooked by a bull. Sure. Hey, just go get, let's take a couple ibuprofen and get in the cold plunge for 15 minutes. Let's get in 39 degree water for 15 minutes, and you'll feel better when you get out, I promise.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, and on that subject, the challenges of rodeo as a sport compared to others, you know, a lot of times with football, it's the other people, it's equipment. With baseball, same thing. Like, you, those are things you have to worry about. But for you guys, you're like, you're worrying about now another live being that, like you said, you can't psych out in some instances, right? Like, it's all about taking care. So what challenges, I guess, when it comes to dealing with animals in a lot of those events?
Everything is systematically set up. So in the, you know, when you're dealing with a bull, you learn how to get off the bull. You learn when to get off the bull. You have bullfighters there, or me with a bag in front of them, like a Spanish matador. but you have safety precautions set up. But when you're teaching these kids, it's no different than, you know, really any other sport. And if all the other sports had the same mindset that our best professional cowboys had, they have the same mindset that Michael Jordan has or Kobe Bryant or your best athletes. They have that same mentality. It's, I'm going to focus on what I can control, and then I'm going to quit spending energy on things that I can't control. And if you can train that into them and just drill that into their head and make them want to learn that, it's very beneficial. You know, you have kids that start out and some of them have a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to teach them how to channel that fear.
Yeah.
Like, I have a kid named Shea Fournier. His dad went to school here. He's in the Hall of Fame here for rodeo. He was one of the founders of the PBR. Mm-hmm. And Shea started when he was in college riding Bronx. He rode bulls when he came in, and he won a national championship in the Bronc riding 2 years later after he started. And he was set to win the Rookie of the Year this year and have a nut. We would have had two at the NFR this year, and he hurt his knee really bad at Houston. Well, we went up to DeRidder. We had to travel to DeRidder on Wednesday night to practice, and he said, "Hey, coach, can I come back and get on?" He's out of school, but he came and got on. And I said, "Hey, you ready?" And he said, "I'm scared. I'm nervous." Mm-hmm. He said, because his knee hadn't gone on in six months. And but he knows how to channel that energy. And that's what you try to teach. Now, all of them don't get it, but the successful ones have to, because you always have a little bit of that doubt trying to come in, and you can't allow it to come in. You got to channel that to, what do I want to happen and where I want to go?
I love that.
Let's do this. So that's the main thing, is training the head, and then they have to want to work at it physically.
That track record for McNeese Rodeo speaks for itself, right? We talked about the team national championships, the reserve titles, the individual national champions. Can you talk on some of the recently? Because I know, was it Mia that really, I think she won a team national title practically by herself
just
a few years ago. So just kind of the recent success of this program, can you kind of highlight some of those that you guys have been able to do recently?
So just in the past, I would say since 2018, you know, Mia came in there and she won the goat tying and the breakaway rope in 1 year. She come in kind of bad. It wasn't even like even a thought in our head that she would do what she did. And she come in like 9th or 10th in the breakaway rope, and then just roped the heck out of a calf. And then she was winning the goat tying, you know, pretty handily. And, she was the only girl on the team that year, and she just ended up winning it. And she's like, she come up to me after the deal's over, and she's like, "Hey, I think we won the women's team too." And I was like, "Really? You know, that's pretty awesome." You know, and it was good. You know, it was a representation of how amazing of a competitor she was. And then the next year we won the women's team again. She was on the team as well. And we had, the cool thing about that year was every girl on the team got points for us too.
Wow.
So that was really good, because it took all of them to win. But anyway, we won some national championships.
Yeah.
I think we've had, you know, 6. Cole Fry won an all-around national championship in the last couple of years. Mia won 2 in a row. So yeah, we've done well in the previous. Last year, we had some guys to do it, and they just didn't draw really good. Rodeo is a drawing contest. That's what people are like, "Man, you've won the nation, like, right, reserve champions 2 years in a row. How's that affect you?" I'm like, it really doesn't, because it's just one rodeo. And a lot of that comes down to, like, Cade Sonia was 3rd in the world, and he didn't place until the short round.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went 2nd in the nation, did not get a point for us until the short round.
Yeah.
And he's the best bareback rider there.
Yeah.
By far.
Different day, different atmosphere, different animal, different.
You draw a different animal. Like, he didn't draw an animal that was marked over, like, they have a 1 to 25 scale for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And until the short round, he didn't draw a horse that was over a 16-point horse.
Yeah.
And you have to be 80. You have to have a 20-point horse. So he's like 60s and low 70s, and you're so far behind.
Yeah.
But he won the short run by 10 points.
Yeah. So, I guess I never thought about that, the luck of the draw, truly,
in
that kind of situation. What's the season for rodeo?
We have our first rodeo next weekend in Panola.
Uh-huh.
And then we have 5 rodeos in the fall. We go until the middle of November. We're off until the end of January, and we start back up. We go till the end of June. So the Nationals is the end of June. So it's a very long season. We normally start practice the first week of September, and we have about 3-4 weeks, hopefully, before the first rodeo. And then we rock and roll. We have 2 in a row. We have a week off. Then we have Northeast Texas. And then we have McNeese, our home rodeo. So it's,
and when's the home rodeo?
Our home rodeo is October 25th and 26th.
Okay.
We're making it. It's grown up. Like, this year, we were going to originally have concerts with it, like bring in Nashville singers and have a legit rodeo concert, like Minnie Houston, right?
Yeah. So,
because we already have the biggest, largest rodeo in the state. We're the only rodeo program in the state. So we are the official rodeo team of of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we're looking to have over 8,000 people come in over the 4 days of the event.
And McNeese isn't even the A&M school of Louisiana.
No, exactly.
To have that is cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it really shows a lot with our ag department and the rodeo program and the history of it. But right now we are the only program in the state. And so Yeah, we're looking. Normally, we have like 1,000 people come to the rodeo, and we sell out the outdoor arena. We've never really advertised it. So this year, Louisiana Office of Tourism, they joined us with a grant, and we've been able. They've helped us promote it. So we're fixing to start like a huge campaign to promote it, and we're hoping to get 3,000 people there. Hopefully, we get more than the pro rodeo. You know, because ideally, it's local kids. But the thing about our rodeo and the pro rodeo is, we have people like Macon Murphy, he's from Louisiana. Kincaid Henry, he's from Calcasieu Parish originally. They make the NFR. They're still in school, but they moved to North Texas, so they go somewhere else to school. But we have world champions actually at our college rodeo. Most of the time at the pro rodeo, our college kids win the pro rodeo.
Yeah.
So you're going to see all the best action, like a little promo for our rodeo, at our rodeo if you come to it.
Yeah.
You know, we have the rodeo clowns, we have intros, like everything, you know, that the pro rodeo has. And we're moving it inside the Coliseum too. So for the first time ever. So
that'd be great.
And I think it's worth to note, you'd kind of mention it in context clues, I think. The NFR is the National Finals Rodeo, and that's held every year in, I think, Las Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so that is the Super Bowl of rodeo, the World Series of rodeo. And just trying to make sure that when you say NFR, that is top of the top.
Yeah, that is your professional first league, your NFL. That's your NBA.
That's the big boys.
Your MLS, everything. Yeah, that's the top of the top. And we have them going to school here, right now.
That's amazing. What do you say to somebody who maybe hasn't grown up? I'm from Allen Parish. I grew up in Oakdale. The rodeo is kind of ingrained in life there. You know, we have our own little rodeo there in Allen Parish. And so I've kind of grown up around it. But for people maybe who haven't, or they come from other parts of the state or Texas or wherever, where maybe that's not part of their lifestyle, how do you get them to come out to the rodeos to experience something maybe they haven't before?
Well, that's part of the challenge to promote it. But I think a good rodeo clown helps. I know people always have went to the pro rodeo here, the livestock show, for the clown, because they have a good clown. We have a good clown. So we got a good clown, a really good clown. He's from DeRidder. Preston Broxton is his name. But we just try to promote action and show that these guys are really our athletes. And rodeo for a long time was like the greatest show on dirt. Like they kind of made it seem like a circus. And now you're seeing these, it's really changing the idea of rodeo to really these people are athletes rodeoing.
Yeah.
When I started, like I made an Instagram, I've always called us rodeo athletes. And that was my goal when I came here. We started workouts. My degree is in kinesiology, not agriculture. So I have treated them like athletes from the get-go. I put them on workouts, this and that. But as rodeo has kind of evolved, more people are seeing them and they're promoting them more as athletes, the bull riding too. So I think that you can show them, you know, it's man versus beast for one. And it's a lot of action. We have a school day rodeo. So on October 24th, Thursday morning, we're bringing in over 2,000 elementary kids from the area, from Allen Parish, from the four parish area. I think we even have a school from Orange, Texas coming.
Oh, cool.
It's a fundraiser for us, kind of. We charge $5 a ticket to come. And it's a field trip. So they come, they learn about cattle drives. They learn about the rodeo events.
Very cool.
When they leave there, they're like, I want to be a bull rider. And these people have never seen a rodeo. So it was really like given these kids an opportunity to see a rodeo that have never had the opportunity to see. And a lot of the Calcasieu School District schools, I think some of them like help pay for to go to it. So a lot of those kids don't, if they don't have the money to go, you know, we'll offer it to them free, or they'll come, the schools pay for. I know like one of the elementary schools from Sulphur, the school paid for all the first grade to come to it, you know. So you get them involved, they come out there and they do a goat dressing or something like that, but you get them into the arena, and then we try to invite them back for the big rodeo, you know, for a little bit longer rodeo. It's about an hour show, the kids, hour and a half tops, and the big rodeo is a 2-hour show with a lot more lights and a lot more competition. We just give them a little bit of, we buck like five horses, five bulls, we rope five steers, Bulldog 5, you know, just not mm-hmm. the whole rodeo.
That's so interesting. So, okay, you know, these kids come out, they get to kind of get their experience and see what you guys have to offer. Let's say the seed is planted. What's the one piece of advice for a young kid who maybe this is their dream now? They want to pursue rodeo. What's a one piece of advice you give them?
Well, hopefully they come to us for advice. Some of them go to YouTube and this and that. But, you know, we have a little outreach program that we help kids with, so we can kind of teach them how to start it, because that's big, is when they're that age, they're little, they have to have fun with it. So we try to create a fun atmosphere for them. Same with any sport. If you're driving it down their throat from the time they're 5 years old, they're gonna quit. You know,
that burnout's gonna, yeah,
you're
gonna
have, you, they have to have fun, they have to love it, it has to be in their soul. And so that's the big deal. Like, we partnered with the Dirty South Bull Riders this year, and they're having a bull riding. The PBR is actually partnered with us on it too, and that's what it's about. It's about these kids being successful, because right now we're losing bull riders because they get on at 5 years old and they're getting on something that just bucks them off and steps on them and hurts them. And what, a five-year-old wants to get stepped on? They want to ride a sheep, right? So that's why we put them on sheep. So we kind of give them stock that is going to help them be successful, help them continue to love the game. We do want them to be successful, because the more successful they are at a young age, the more they're going to love it and mm-hmm. want to win, and you get that love behind it. But it's that's just what we do. You know, we try to be involved. Right. You know, I put the kids involved. It's a good outreach program for them, helping the little goat tires or a kid that calls and wants to ride broncs. That's where we really, really excel in it, is they don't have to have a horse to ride a saddle bronc. Mm-hmm. They just need a saddle. And we have saddles that we could just loan them until they want to do it, you know? So it's a lot of up costs. Like, a bronc saddle costs like $4,000.
Yeah.
And a bull rope costs $1,000 now. Bareback rigging lasts like 6 months and it costs about $900.
Wow.
So, and they have to pay for all that themselves. Even my college athletes pay for all this themselves. Their horses they ride, the tiny event, they have to have a little money, because the tiny event guys, they ride $50,000, $60,000 horses. I mean, that's how much they cost. So,
Talking about the cost of all this for the athletes, it is a lot. And I know that they're looking for help any way you can. You talked about having fundraisers and things like that. What do you guys as a team need?
Mainly scholarships and help travel with mm-hmm. travel. You know, most of our fundraisers go to scholarships. Right now we have... when I came here about 2007, I came in 2007, we were given like $4,000 in scholarships. Now we're raising $40,000 in scholarships.
Wow.
So it's a lot, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. Like, our biggest scholarship still doesn't pay for a kid's dorms or living expenses. Our biggest scholarship pays for a kid to go to school, his tuition, really, not even including his books. So we're trying, our goals are to increase that scholarship fund. And then another goal, like, we're looking at having a Mardi Gras ball, mm-hmm. For a rodeo Mardi Gras ball. We can bring back alumni. We can invite teams from Texas as crews, things like that. We're looking at doing it like around the middle of February, you know, Mardi Gras season. But all the money for that fundraiser, we're going to go to travel. So right now the kids, we give them, like, for this weekend to go to Panola, I give 10 kids $125. Whichever ones have the most points after the rodeo, I give them $125 to go to the rodeo. Their entry fees alone cost $100 per event.
Oh.
Let alone they can win money back. But they're driving $50,000 trucks, $100,000. Diesel alone to get that rodeo is going to cost $250. Not counting their stalls that cost $50 a night, and their the food that they have to eat at the rodeo and all this stuff, you know, to go represent us, McNeese State University. And we figured it up the other day. If we can raise $60,000 a year, we can pay for every kid's entry fee mm-hmm. or part of their fees, and pay for their fuel to go to the rodeos.
Wow.
And then give the ones like the tiny event people, they have trailers that they stay in. The rough stock people, they don't. They all pack into a minivan. So, hey, we get them a hotel room. You know, we'd need three hotel rooms for them. But right now we give them $125. That doesn't even buy a hotel room for a night. You know, so those rough stock riders, like, they bring tents, or they stay in their vehicles, or they crash with me in the hotel room. But most of the time, for me to save money to allow to give more, I crash in some of the students, some of their parents drive their trailers or their RVs or something. I'll sleep on their couch to try to save some money for the program.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our goal for that side of it, for these fundraisers, you know. I'd love to be able to buy the kids ropes. You know, rope costs like $60 and they don't last very long. Like I said, a bareback rigging costs close to $1,000. And if a horse in the buck and shoot flips over, it ruins it. He has to go buy another one.
Wow.
So we've had that happen at practice and we can't afford to
help
them buy another one. Say, hey, coach, I just bought a brand new rigging. We get it set up and he gets on a horse that decides to throw a fit in there and it rears up and mashes the rigging and the hand hold that they have to put their hand in.
Sure.
Like this morning I was helping Drew, his saddle's breaking, his Bronc saddle. And so before it broke, we were fiberglassing it this morning. That's what we were doing before I came here. I had fiberglass all over me.
Oh, no.
And not on me. I did have it on me. But we're helping them fix that stuff because we can't afford, or they can't afford to really buy new equipment. And you know, like, so our main goal is to raise that scholarship money, help the kids travel. And then looking at future, like we want to build a training facility for Magnesse Rodeo. Mm-hmm. Right now we're at the Burton Coliseum outdoor arena, the Calcasieu Parish and the Burton, they're great. We have a partnership and we're allowed to use it, but sometimes it is a public facility and they rent it out to people.
Sure.
And so we have to leave, or we don't have to leave our stall area, but we can't practice on those days.
Sure.
The livestock show comes in, we can't practice. Like the other night, you know, we bucked horses in DeRidder. We had to drive to DeRidder. Sometimes we have to drive to Lafayette to practice. Sometimes we have to drive to Orange to practice, just different things. So one of our goals is to build a complex, that's a training facility, have an arena. We have a classroom to watch video. We have our weightlifting room. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal right now. We're in the process of starting a booster club. And their goal is to try to help us grow with all of these things that I'm talking about. Our goal is to have our own weight room to where we can all work out together and, you know, build that camaraderie.
Sure.
And it's something that's theirs. We can have cold plunge, hot plunge, hot pool transitions, have hopefully a trainer, you know, like build it to where I treat them like athletes.
A real investment in your athletes and a real investment in the program.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that's our goal, to grow that. And hopefully my goal is, you know, we get donors, you know, we get big corporations that want to come in and put their name on our building and help us with that, you know, because we are raising really good kids. Like I've been here for 18 years and I can only think of 6 kids that haven't graduated that have started and not finished.
Yeah. Not just good athletes, not just people who perform well on the big stage, but that are good humans.
Exactly. And that's the main deal, is because all of them aren't going to win. There's only one winner. But like I said, when I started this, you know, I had kids that came in that were career bar fighters. You know, they go to the bar just to fight. And now they're leaders in our FCA groups. Mm-hmm. And they're good young men. They're good people that are going to go out into society. And they're already doing it. Like I have like probably 6 different kids on the team that have already started their own businesses.
Yeah.
Like one of them started a trash cleaning. They go pressure wash trash cans out at Graywood, you know, like they're hustlers. They work, you know, they're cleaning houses. So they're good kids. And that's part of getting them up on Monday morning. You know, I don't give them any slack. You know, when you get a real job, you got to show up to work. You know, we have a 3-strike rule. If you miss 3 workouts or you miss 3 practices, you're out. You're voted out. And so it's no different than a job. You know, you miss a job 3 times and you were probably fired after the second one, you know, like, so, that's part of it. But yeah, so You know, we'd love to build our scholarship fund to 100,000 and build a travel fund that we can provide to help these kids go to rodeos and build a training facility. You know, that's what we want. That's what we want. That's what my vision looks like for Magnese Rodeo.
Well, here's hoping you find the right donors, the right investors who are going to, you know, help you do that, help you grow the program.
Well, we appreciate you taking us into the world of rodeo here for the last little bit.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Justin for joining us here on the show, and thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on this here podcast. If you enjoyed it, please follow our podcast, leave us a rating or review, go on YouTube, leave us a comment, or Spotify, they have comments too, in some way, share it on Facebook or Twitter or Threads
it.
Or wherever.
All
you know?
That stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, that helps us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana have to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Quarter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Set you.